John Phillips, a religious writer, made this statement. He said, there are two questions that all men must answer, and women. Two questions that they must answer. One question is, how do I want to spend eternity? Do I want to spend it in heaven or in hell? In mansions of glory prepared for the faithful. Child of God, as promised by Jesus over in John 14 in verse 3. Or do I want to spend it in darkness and the fires of a devil's hell, prepared for the devil and his angels? Matthew 25, verse 41. If the answer to that question is I want to spend eternity in heaven, then the second question is, which world am I going to live in? Am I going to live in the world that Christ would have me to live in, or am I going to live in the world of materialism and sin that is all about me in society? And as I thought about those two questions, I thought about an individual and numerous people in the Old Testament and the New Testament who have answered these two questions. For example, Lot, you remember, was Abraham's nephew. And as they came into the land of Canaan, their herdsmen began to quarrel. And so Abraham said to Lot, you choose where you want to live, and I will take what's left. You'll recall that decision by Lot was a bad decision. It had some terrible consequences. The Bible says that Lot looked around and he saw land near the Jordan River. It was green, it was watered, it was plenteous, and it would be a wonderful place for his flocks to live. And so he decided that he would choose that land. We all know the end of that story, that after a while Lot ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. That decision was a bad decision with bad consequences. In fact, the man we're really going to talk about tonight moved to that land where Lot had chosen. It became known as the land of Moab, and it was an idolatrous nation. Because it was a fertile land, the people there, the government there was blessed. They had plenty of food, they had plenty of water, and they had a strong army, and even though God had said, you drive them out of this land, the Israelites never could quite accomplish that feat. And so it became known as the land of Moab, which we'll see in our lesson tonight. Another example of a man who made a bad decision and suffered the consequences was a man named Demas. You remember Demas is mentioned over in 2 Timothy 4 in verse 10. And there Paul says of Demas that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas made a decision that he was going to live in this world without regard for the world in heaven. And then last of the examples in the New Testament is the man Judas. Judas was a man who was chosen by our Lord to be one of his disciples, the apostles. And yet he chose to sell the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. A bad decision with bad consequences. The Bible in the Old Testament, the character that I want to focus on tonight, is a man whose name is Elimelech. Elimelech was a man who made some bad decisions and suffered some bad consequences. The decisions that we make in this life have consequences. Some of them good, some of them bad. Some of those consequences affect us, but some of those consequences affect those that we love. And so it's important that we make the right decisions and not suffer evil consequences. Elimelech made some bad decisions and suffered terrible consequences. We read about Elimelech in the first chapter of Ruth, beginning in chapter 1. He was a Jew. He lived of all places in the city of Bethlehem. And in that city, which was in Canaan, he had two sons. He married Naomi, his wife, and he had two sons that lived there in Bethlehem. We read about him in the first chapter of Ruth, beginning in chapter 1. There was a famine in the land of Bethlehem and Judah. And you remember, as we talked on Wednesday night about Samson, very often the famines were a result of war between various nations. And that's probably what happened in the city of Bethlehem. The Philistines no doubt came over and destroyed the crops, and as a result there was a famine that left. You remember on Wednesday night we were talking about Samson and how Samson destroyed the harvest of the Philistines. That was a standard method of warfare during that time. But anyway, there was a famine in the city of Bethlehem. And so Elimelech moved his family to Moab. It wasn't very far. It was across the Jordan River. But it was a wicked, wicked city. It was an idolatrous city. And as a result of that, Elimelech moved to Moab. The Bible says that he went to sojourn in that country. That word sojourn simply means that he didn't really mean to stay there permanently. He was just going to be there for a temporary time in order to get food. But like many times, our intentions do not hold out. And not only did Elimelech stay in Moab for a temporary time, but he stayed there permanently in that idolatrous place. Elimelech lived in Bethlehem in the promised land of Canaan. You remember that God had said, I'm going to give you this land, and you move to that land, you stay there, you don't move out of there, and I will bless you and protect you. A famine came. And so Elimelech makes a choice to move over to Moab because he heard there was food in Moab. And so he takes his wife and his two sons and leaves the promised land of Canaan, where God had given his chosen people a protected place. It's interesting that the name of the town, Bethlehem, it has a meaning, and the meaning is a house of bread and praise. A house of bread and a place of praise. But they had a famine. And so Elimelech makes the choice that I'm going to leave Bethlehem and move to Moab. Not only that, but Elimelech's name means "my God is king." Think about that for a moment. My God is king. Elimelech had the attitude, I assume for a while, that God was his king. But when the famine and trouble came, it was different. It was almost that he could have been renamed to not only that my God is king, but I am king. Because you see, he made a choice. He decided that I'm not going to trust God. I'm not going to stay here in Bethlehem, a place of bread and praise. I'm going to move over to Moab for a temporary time. Elimelech's name then was betrayed by his life and by the decisions that he made. And he could very well have been named, "I am king. I will decide what's best for my family, and I will do what I think is best in this life." Now, we'd have to give that he certainly had a good reason. We've probably heard that reason before. Well, you know, I got to feed my family. And as the father of that family, he certainly had that responsibility. But he also, as a Jew, as a child of God, a chosen generation, he had the obligation to serve God regardless and depend and trust on God. His good reason for the move to Moab was perhaps a good reason, but just look at the consequences that came from that decision. He intended to sojourn. He had made up his mind, I'm not going to stay there permanently. I'm just going to go over there on a temporary visit to get some food for my family. But sometime after moving to Moab, guess what? Elimelech died. He died in a foreign country. He died in an idolatrous country. He died away from God and away from God's law. You know, it's interesting that when he died, he left a widow. He left two sons. Not only did he leave them, but he left them in a foreign country. And certainly among idolatrous people. And I suppose the first lesson we learn from his life is that we do not know what the future holds. He didn't mean to die in Moab. He intended to go just for a short time. But the Bible says that he died in Moab. We do not know what the future holds. Isn't that really what James is trying to say to us over in James, the fourth chapter, there in verse 13? James says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Elimelech said, you know, I'm just going over there for a little while. And then I'm coming back over into God's country, into Canaan. But he never made it back. He died in Moab, leaving his wife and two sons there. After he died, his two sons died. Now, they had married during that period of time before they died. And guess who they married? Women from Moab. Is that any big surprise? They married girls from where they lived in the country of Moab. Idolatrous girls. People that they should not have married. God forbid them to marry any of the Moabites. But nevertheless, that's who they married. You know, parents, and we have two daughters here tonight and the two granddaughters, and they've heard this. But parents enforce the idea that you choose a date fit for a mate. I never will forget telling our two daughters that, and I remember one of them saying, but Daddy, I'm just going to date him. I'm not going to marry him. And I said, well, who do you think you're going to marry? Somebody you don't date? But we need to make sure that our mates of our young teenagers, that they choose someone that they could marry, that would be worthy of a marriage that God would be pleased with. But that did not happen with the sons of Elimelech. The sons were unequally yoked with a Jew and a Moabite in a marriage together. Never what God intended. Over in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, there Paul talks about the danger when he says in verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" The sons of Elimelech didn't consider that. It just didn't matter. They married those that they associated with in the land that they lived in. Over in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, in verse 4, God had made this command to the Old Testament characters. He said in verse 3, "Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his sons, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son." Talking about Moab. "For they will turn away thy son from the following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly." That's exactly what happened. The two sons who had married into idolatrous families died. And that left Naomi, Elimelech's wife, and two daughter-in-laws who were Moabites or idolatrous individuals in the land of Moab. Here are Elimelech's sons in a forbidden marriage, in a forbidden land, and why not? Daddy moved there. Daddy was there. So why shouldn't they stay in Moab? Another point about that, as you think about it, in the eastern countries, who do you think arranged the marriages? The parents did. And so apparently, Elimelech had a part in choosing the wives that his sons was going to marry. And as a result, they ended up in an idolatrous marriage. Elimelech and his family were truly living in a far country. They were truly living in a forbidden land, and why not? Daddy was there. They grew up there in that foreign country. And also, not only that, but while they were there, they were indoctrinated into the idolatrous religion of the Moabites. We're not told how long it was, but after a while, Naomi, Elimelech's wife, came to her senses. And she said, "I'm going home. I'm going back to the land of God. I'm going back to the people of God. I'm going to leave this idolatrous country. I'm going home." The two daughters-in-law, one named Orpah and one named Ruth, both were going to go back with her to Israel and to Canaan. But as they were on their way, Naomi pauses and she turns to her two daughters-in-law and says to them, "You don't want to go with me. You need to stay here in Moab. You need to stay here in Moab and find you a husband who's a Moabite." And there are a lot of lessons we can get from that. She said, "Not only do you need to stay here to find husbands in Moab, because I'm too old to have any more sons that you can marry." Now that was an interesting statement. Because you see, the Old Testament law was that if a son died and left a wife, his brother was to marry him to continue the name in that family. Naomi remembered that law. And she said, "You need to stay here in Moab because I'm too old to have any sons and for you to marry. And even if I could have, It would be years before they would be old enough to marry. And as a result of that, one of the daughters turned back, Orpha. Now, we don't know what happened to her. Very little is known about her other than she turned back. But the other daughter-in-law, Ruth, said and made a vow to Naomi. And her vow was, whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. It's interesting, you hear that statement made a lot of times in weddings, where a wife says that to a future husband, or a future husband to a wife. But that statement was not made in a marriage. It was made between Naomi, a daughter-in-law, to her mother-in-law. And certainly it carries with it a lot of meaning for us today. They travel on and they end up in Bethlehem. And the Bible says that when they got to Bethlehem, the city was abuzz. Everybody was talking about these two people who have come in to the city. The people, as they saw them, they asked the question, is this Naomi? She didn't even look like the Naomi that they remembered. And it's interesting to me that when they asked that question, is this Naomi? Naomi answers the question, and listen to her answer. And so the two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite is her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley season. My friends, living in sin is going to produce some terrible consequences. In fact, it had produced such a change in the life and in the appearance of Naomi that they said, you know, is this Naomi? It doesn't even look like Naomi. You know, certainly Proverbs 13:15 hit it very accurately when it said, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Naomi had that hard look because she had lived a hard life in a foreign country away from God. But you know, human nature doesn't change. And here's the real essence of this lesson that we learned from Naomi and Elimelech. Individuals who are in Christ through baptism, Galatians 3:27, are in a protected area. They're added to a protected environment, watched over by God's Son, and therein they are blessed, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Only if we believe and trust and remain in that protected environment, the church, will God bless us, and we shall live eternally in heaven if we are faithful. But one can choose to leave, just like Elimelech. We can choose to leave that protected environment of the church, go back into the world, and suffer the evil consequences. Now, I know there are many denominations that say you can't, that's not true. That once you are in that protected country or in that protected environment, the church, you can't leave it. You can't sin. You cannot fall from grace. That's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, over in Galatians, the 6th chapter, there in verse 1, Paul said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Do you get the first word in that statement, in that command, brethren? He's talking about Christians. And he's saying, if a Christian is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual need to restore such a one. You know, we need to learn that lesson in the church today. We sometimes say, well, yeah, that happens, but that's the preacher's job, or that's the elder's job. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken. So that's all of us have that responsibility. But what can we learn from the life of Elimelech? Human nature does not change. Individuals who are in Christ through baptism and are in a protected area, the church, watched over by God and therein blessed by His Son. But one can choose to leave that protected environment. Now, there are many reasons as to why Christians leave the church. There are many reasons why they leave that protected environment. It could be that it's money. Well, you know, I had to go to this city because of my job, and that was the only place I could go. There's no churches there, but I need to make a living, and so they leave the protected environment of the church. There are some who choose to leave this protected environment because of family members. Well, you know, my husband's not a Christian, or my wife is not a Christian, and therefore, it just creates turmoil in our family, and so I'm just going to leave. There's some who leave for the pleasures of sin. I never will forget a young couple that we knew in another congregation, and the husband was not a member of the church, and they had two daughters. The husband was an outdoorsman. He loved to fish and he loved to hunt and all the other things that you can think of, the outdoors. They bought a camper. And every Saturday and Sunday he was down at the lake either fishing or hunting. He left his wife and two daughters at home, and they, of course, were faithful to the church. And after a while, the wife said, you know, maybe I could influence him if I go with him a time or two. Not every Sunday, but once or twice. I'm going to miss church and go with him down to the lake, and maybe that'll help him and influence him to visit with me at worship. Just like Elimelech, she did the very same thing. She didn't mean to do that permanently. She was just going to do that a time or two, see if she could influence him. But you know what? It wasn't long before she was not at church anymore. Not only that, but the two daughters left the church. And that entire family is away from the chosen people of God, Christians, in a protected environment. Good intentions are not sufficient to sojourn in Moab, which was only to be a temporary time, turned into a permanent residence, and Elimelech died in Moab, far from home and far from God. Bad decision with terrible consequences. His example as a parent resulted in the loss of his two sons. The two sons died in Moab, away from God, in an idolatrous country, living in an idolatrous marriage because of that decision. Elimelech's poor example caused his wife to make a bad decision. You remember that as they returned to Bethlehem, Naomi said to Ruth and Orpah, you stay here in Moab and find a husband among the Moabites, and I'll go back to Bethlehem. Bad advice. You stay here in this idolatrous country, and you live here away from God and away from His people. You know, I wonder as I think about Naomi and her husband, how many Christians have been and will be lost because of a sinful marriage? It happens over and over again. It happened to the two sons of Naomi. But you know, thankfully the story doesn't end here. It doesn't end with Naomi in a foreign country. Naomi realized her situation, and like the prodigal son, she said, I'm going home. I'm going back to the people of God. I'm going back to that city of refuge. And once restored to God's house and to God's people, once she returned to the place of blessings, her future was restored. And it was changed completely. Her daughter-in-law, Ruth, was also restored and eventually married a Jewish man named Boaz and gave birth, the two of them, to a son named Obed. We don't hear a lot about Obed, but he was an ancestor to the Christ. And so again, you don't have to stay in a foreign country. You don't have to leave the protected environment of the church. You don't have to stand out outside of the church and suffer. But very often it happens time and time again for so many different reasons. There's some who leave that protected environment simply because of a disagreement with a fellow Christian. A disagreement over a matter of opinion. And they say, well, I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to stay here with that person here. Bad decision with terrible consequences. Elimelech's story is repeated over and over again in our time. Individuals hear and believe the gospel and are baptized and enter into the body of Christ and remain for a time in protected safety of the church. And then some leave with the intent to someday return, but very often never return and die in that far country away from God. Over in Matthew, the 13th chapter, Jesus gave the parable of the sower, or the parable of the souls. There were four different kinds of responses. The first, he says, the seed fell by the wayside and was eaten by the birds. It became bird seed. But second, the second seeds fell on stony ground tried to spring up, but because of no roots, the sun scorched them and killed them. And did away with them. They endured for a while, and tribulation and persecution became, and the word was offended in them. There was a third seed that was planted, and it fell among thorns, and they sprang up, but thorns choked it out. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choked the word, and he became unfaithful. That describes Elimelech. He was one who was sown in good soil, and the thorns came, the cares and persecutions of the world choked him out, and he lived and died in a foreign country. Some fell on good ground and bore fruit, and Naomi and Ruth are those seeds. Naomi was restored. She married Boaz. They had a son, Obed, who became an ancestor of the Christ. That was good fruit. And not only was she restored, but she brought her daughter-in-law, Ruth, with her, and she was restored. She bore fruit for the master. She was good seed in a good soil. Now here's the main question tonight. Everybody in this auditorium is one of those seeds, one of those soils. And I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is, which one am I? Am I the seed that is just going to be for bird seed? Am I the seed that's going to try to grow, and I become a Christian and I just sort of wear away to nothing, and the sun and tribulations scorches and just kills me? Am I the one that is among thorns, and I sprout up and I try to grow, but the cares and tribulations of this life cause me to leave the protected environment of the church and go into a foreign country? Or am I that soil that's going to bear good fruit and live in heaven eternally? It may be that you're here tonight and you have been a Christian, but the toils and tribulations of this life have caused you to doubt, and maybe even for a time leave that protected area of the church. You need to come back. To stay away is a bad decision with terrible consequences. A decision that can affect not only your soul, but the soul of others that you love. If you're not a Christian, then you need to get your life straight with God, and you need to become His child and live in a protected environment, blessed by the Son of God. If you need to come, won't you do it now, as together we stand and sing.